Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, it was originally criticised as a law stacked in favour of employers, and Taoiseach De Leo Varadkar has now overhauled the new remote working legislation, and he says it departs quite far from the original proposals. Joining me to discuss this is Peter Cosgrove, who's Managing Director of FutureWise, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin spokesperson on workers' rights. First to you, Louise. The criticism of this bill when it first came out was that it gave employers 13 reasons to refuse someone's request to work remotely. What's happening now, in your view? Has the balance swung back to workers?
I sincerely hope so, Claire, because I think the Taoiseach was he was told by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions and others that the legislation as it was written just wasn't going to work. I mean, providing and codifying in law 13 reasons to say no is not exactly capitalising on all the gains that were made during COVID for workers who, you know, want to either work 100% remotely or to do a hybrid version. I think most people are trying to opt for a hybrid version so they keep the connection with the workplace, but they also have the benefits of working from home. I think the Taoiseach heard loud and clear not just the views of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, but the views of Sinn Féin and indeed members of the Enterprise, Trade and Employment Committee when we said, you know, we want this to work, but we do need to put the balance more in favour of workers and less in favour of these 13 subjective reasons just to say no. I felt it was a very negative way to approach this legislation. And we hope now that the revised version is going to be one that is workable and that will actually make a positive difference in workers' lives.
And Peter, it had to change, didn't it? Because those 13 reasons were very broad. They were subjective, as Louise said. I mean, an employer could almost say if it's sunny on a Wednesday, you have to come into the office.
Yeah, no, I won't disagree with the 13 reasons. I suppose I'd be more in disagreement with, I'm just not sure we need a law in the first place. I think it's giving us more bureaucracy, and in the longer term, as a country, we need to be more competitive. More bureaucracy down the line means less jobs. And I think that's the challenge for me, is this is something that is kind of we just need the market dynamics to work. Employers, employees should be working this out themselves and not through legal means.
And why does more legislation mean fewer jobs?
Well, look, from my point of view, firstly, I don't think this is workable even with laws. If you walk into your employer at any stage and say, by rights, here's the law, I don't have to come in today, you've already broken some sort of psychological contract. So yes, we can absolutely do this, but actually people always forget about the unintended consequences. But more importantly, the countries like the US who come in with multinational money, of which they do a huge amount, one of the main reasons is the kind of the strong education we have, but also the kind of lack of bureaucracy, especially compared to the rest of Europe. And now with UK kind of having its own challenges, that puts us in a really good place. So I think my worry is that anything that that kind of lessens competitiveness for us for kind of foreign direct investments is probably a little bit of a worry.
Louise, what do you say to that, that the legislation here is just not necessary?
Yeah, well, what I'd say to Peter is I'd pull him up on that phrase, I don't have to come in today. Of course, you are in. In just happens to be in another location that's not your physical office. You're still working. Nobody's staying at home and doing no work. I mean, they are working remotely, either working in a hub or working from home. And, you know, I mean, all of the evidence suggests that workers are more productive, that that it works well when employers and workers can work it out together. Absolutely. But where there is a difficulty and where there is an issue, it does need to be codified in law. And in actual fact, if you talk to employers, as I do, and indeed to workers, they will say to you that making things clear, making things transparent is actually what is needed. So many, many workers worked very successfully for 2 years. They worked remotely because they physically couldn't go into their workplace because of the COVID restrictions. And we need to build on that now and build on the positives. You know, there are companies starting that are going to be 100% remote, and they're making that work. They are productive companies. Nobody is suggesting they're any less productive than those workers that are in work. But what they're not doing is they're not spending huge amounts of time commuting. They are making that change, and we'll see environmental benefits as well as mental health benefits, as well as social and family benefits, and benefits because workers will be more productive. Okay. And study after study shows that.
What do you say to that, Peter?
Claire, there is no studies. That is, I'll be honest, that is total nonsense. There is no studies. People have given some anecdotal feedback about why it's better. it is absolutely way too early for anyone to say you are more productive when you're working from home. What people are saying is they can do more tasks at home individually. But what they forget is they're part of a larger organization. There's things like creativity. There's things like building relationships. There's things like working across departments. There's things like accidental meetings with other people. None of those things happen. Secondly, from a mental health perspective, I think it's completely the opposite. I think most people are saying they're working longer hours. They're feeling burnt out. It's increasing societal loneliness. We're not hearing from those sorts of people because they're less vociferous around this. So actually, I think there's a real challenge. And as I said before, I am completely in favour of remote and flexible working. I think it's wonderful. I think all employers should do it. However, if an employer doesn't want to do it, we should let them not do it. And what will happen? Employees will vote with their feet and they will leave that company. Employees right now have so many rights because it's a full employment market. If they don't want to work somewhere, we're giving them the wrong rules or the wrong rights, they can go somewhere else. So I think, as I said before, let the market dynamics decide. You are not more productive from working from home. You may individually feel it, but guess what? If we all work from home, nobody would ever help anyone else. Nobody would ever actually be there for somebody else when they have a problem in the office, because everybody has said without doubt that working through Teams and working through Zoom is okay, but it's no way anywhere as good as having those kind of personal connections and relationships which you build up over time in an office.
Okay, so if you don't like it, you can leave, Louise. A quick response from you before we move on.
Of course, workers could leave if they don't like their employment, but what they should be doing is ensuring that the employment is a decent place to work. And one of the ways to do that is to offer flexible and hybrid working. You know, when you talk about the mental health implications of sitting for 2 hours every day in your car trying to get yourself into your workplace, you know, they are absolutely huge. So that we know that the productivity is there and we know that the productivity can improve. And we also see with organisations like Grow Remote that you can build up that socialisation, that you can keep in touch with your workplace. It's more than possible to do it. The government need also to look at the right to disconnect so that people who are working from home or working remotely have the right to disconnect. But the Taoiseach got it wrong. He got it badly wrong. And I welcome the fact that he is going to review his flawed legislation and try to deliver for workers. But he needs to listen to the Irish Congress of Trade Unions and indeed to ourselves and Sinn Féin and others who are recommending positive changes.
Louise O'Reilly and Peter Cosgrove, thank you for joining us. And listening to all that is Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times. Is this something of a U-turn from the Taoiseach on remote working?
Morning, Claire. I think it's hard to see it as anything otherwise. You know, I mean, it's a landmark policy intervention which comes as part of a wider effort to kind of try and shore up aspects of workers' rights or bolster employment rights from the Department of Enterprise and from the Taoiseach. And, you know, it was universally unpopular, as both your contributors have articulated. It managed to annoy people on both sides of the debate, both in IBEC, who said, you know, that it was premature and could stymie efforts to kind of set up working relationships between workers and their employers, and obviously from the trade unions, who said it was stacked in favour of the employer. And now, having provoked that kind of a response, they've said that they're going to overhaul the legislation. So, I mean, the short answer is, what do you call that? That's a U-turn.
Okay, let's talk about your own story in the Irish Times today. And you report that the number of Ukrainians arriving into Ireland has fallen in the last few days. How significant is the drop, Jack?
Well, it is just two days' data, but it is so significant that people in government were flagging it yesterday to me, and that's the source of the story. So across Sunday and into Monday, there were a total of just 167 people arrived into Ireland from Ukraine. And while obviously the number waxes and wanes for various different reasons and indeed kind of performs differently depending on what day of the week it is, if you compare that to the previous Sunday, Monday and the Sunday, Monday period before that, the numbers were 256 and 272. So there's obviously a step change between that and the 167 people who came in this Sunday and this Monday. And simultaneous to that, obviously, there was the situation in City West, which began to kind of unravel last Thursday when we had a press release from the Department of Integration saying, look, we're going to have to close down City West at some stage in the coming days. Sure enough, that happened. And then you had over the weekend reports of, I think it was a total of 56 people who were unable to be accommodated and slept in or around the airport. So, you know, obviously it is just a couple of days data. It's hard to say that there's a trend, and indeed it's hard to be totally precise about the cause, but certainly there is a feeling that there is a reaction. There's what was described to me as a chill effect to some extent. There's a reaction to the very clear signal that is being sent off, and that there is a very visible failure here to accommodate those who are coming in, and perhaps the people are changing or altering their travel plans at that last minute. Because, you know, if you were flying into a place and you knew that you were going to be sleeping on the hard floor of an airport, would you make that trip, I suppose, is the logic. Okay.
Jack, thank you very much for that update. Jack Horgan-Jones there, political reporter with the Irish Times. Now, the new British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is preparing for his first Prime Minister's Question Time this afternoon. We'll get the latest on that after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.